pray together. Father God, we are humbled in your presence as we are gathered here today. We sing these songs, as we sing these words, God. We stand here together, arms high, hearts abandoned, not submitted to you, recognizing that you are the source of love and life and everything good in our world. Father, we love you. You are incredible. God, as we turn now to your word this morning and we study what you have said, God, open our hearts and our minds to new challenges. God, draw us deeper into that reality, that understanding that you are God. Amen. You go ahead and have a seat. Well, it is an incredible privilege to baptize people, and thank you to those that were baptized this morning. You guys did an awesome, awesome job. It is good to just hear their testimonies, to hear their stories from the simple, for Peter, he's young and he's growing, he's learning, but the simple expression of faith that I want to follow Jesus. And we make it so much more complicated than that, and in some ways it is, but really at the bottom, we just need to follow Jesus. That's what it's all about. Well, turn with me this morning. We're going to turn into the Word a little bit and continue the series that we've been looking at. We're going to turn to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 to 16. I think it'll be on the screen as well for you. But as we begin, I wanted to just open with the passage that we're going to kind of dig into a little bit this morning. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 to 16. And somebody, we don't know who wrote this, is writing to the Jewish believers at that time, just encouraging them to embrace Jesus as their Savior, to understand what the Messiah really is. This idea of an earthly king that they were looking for was so small compared to what Jesus really came to do. And so he's trying to help them understand what this is. He's trying to help these believers understand what Jesus was really all about, what he actually did. And these verses are some of my favorite in the whole Bible, and they really are. I say that all the time. But this is so good. It's one of my favorite passages, and I go back to it over and over again because I need to hear it again and again and again. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 to 16, if you read together. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Let us approach God's throne of grace with confidence, that we may receive mercy and grace to help us in our time of need. Our series right now is Shalom, divine rhythm and divine healing. And as we enter this new year, 2017, we are exploring this incredible Hebrew word, Shalom. It's so deep and complex in what it means. It's more than just a simple greeting or a salutation. We want to understand its meaning and its impact on our lives. It's so much more. It's often translated kind of peace. But the peace that it's talking about is so much more than just a simple be okay. Shalom means a wholeness, a completeness, a fullness, peace in the deepest possible sense and experience. It's talking about life, full life, connection with our Creator and living in that place. That's what shalom means. And that's what we're trying to understand. So we started over the last few weeks with divine rhythm. And we want to understand the pace and the purpose of our lives, what we were created for. We started with Sabbath rhythm, understanding rest and worship in the pattern set down for us by our Creator. We are created to work, to be productive, to be creative, to live and in this world. But we weren't created just to work endlessly. God created us as expressions of worship. And so he created this pattern of Sabbath rest so that we can enjoy His presence, enjoy just being. We looked at Kairos rhythm, this word for time, and it was about embracing the season of life that you are in and the unique opportunities that exist there. You can't live as a single person when you've got a young family. And you can't live like a family person when you're an empty nester. Your phase of life dictates the things that you're responsible for. And so we need to embrace that phase of life that we're in, the unique opportunities that exist there. You won't be able to do maybe some of the things that you're really excited about or passionate about because that's not the phase of life you're in. But there are other things that you can do in that place. And so we need to be sensitive to that and know that. And we talked last week about chronos rhythm, understanding the length of time. That time is a cycle of hours and days, but it stretches on, understanding that our lives are a marathon, not a sprint. And so we need to be pacing ourselves and living in such a way that we recognize that we got a long journey, hopefully, God willing, ahead of us. And recognizing that so that we can be engaged and effective in God's kingdom mission. Now, all of these things are what is supposed to be. And in a sense, what can be as we live in step with the Spirit, this life of shalom, the holy way of being, living in that divine rhythm and experiencing peace and fullness in our lives, in our relationship with God and with one another, and even with ourselves. That's what's supposed to be. But that's not the experience we have a lot of the time. Our lives and our world are filled with brokenness. We see it. It's obvious. They're filled with fear and stress and selfishness and hurt. And some of it, a lot of it happens to us. And some of it, a lot of it, we do to ourselves. Our relationships can be amazing. I don't want to pretend that every second of every day is just horrible and dark. Life is amazing. And good things happen, but we don't have to imagine or remember very hard or very far that our world is deeply broken. Deeply, deeply broken. Our life is full of stress and commitments and struggles and responsibilities. Our relationships can be amazing, but are so often full of mistrust and fear and tension and even isolation. And we continually choose things that are selfish and wrong, and we know it. We know we're not helping ourselves. We experience not rest and wholeness, but brokenness and selfishness and hurt. And so for the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at divine healing. Inviting God into that place in our lives. That brokenness. That He can help us to walk through it and into new life as He promises us. And we want to explore the ways that God wants to free us from the things that keep us from experiencing and enjoying that divine rhythm that He created us for. To enjoy that shalom. So we're going to look at a few different aspects of that healing that God wants to bring. And then in a few weeks, we're actually going to end with a prayer service. And we're just going to seek God's healing in our lives together. His forgiveness and mercy and grace. Spiritually, emotionally, relationally, physically, mentally, together. It's going to be amazing. So I hope you look forward with great anticipation for that day. It's going to be an incredible time of worship and prayer together. But the first and most important thing to address as we kind of step into this divine healing is the obvious one. The source of everything that has gone badly in our world and in our lives. The thing that threw us off the incredible path that God had created us for. Sin. And the very powerful and enduring consequences of sin. Of guilt and shame. Now, we're not going to go really deeply, heavily into what is sin this morning, because we want to talk about healing. We want to talk about moving past it. We know what sin is. It's disobedience to God. It's rejecting the truth that He is God and I am not. It's deciding that I'm going to follow myself instead of Him, that I know best, which I have proven over and over again. It's so obviously not true. And yet I keep deluding myself. And that the consequences could not be more dire. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. Physically, spiritually, emotionally, relationally, mentally, in every way, in every part of our lives, forever, death. Pain, hurt, isolation, loneliness, fear, anger, hatred, selfishness, hopelessness. Sin is the cause of all of it. Instead of life and love and intimacy and community and freedom, sin is the cause of all human suffering everywhere, since forever and going on forever. Until Jesus returns. Sin sucks. Death sucks. Fear, hopelessness. But God is not death and fear and hopelessness and pain and selfishness. God is love. And He didn't abandon us to sin. Romans 6:23. Let's finish it. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is not just forgiveness, not just life, is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. He didn't just fix it a little bit. He fixed everything forever. Our God is incredible. His gifts aren't enough. He lavishes His gifts overwhelmingly upon the world. His love and grace and mercy and life is here, now, today, available to us. And when we choose to follow Him, when we choose to embrace the fact that He is God and I am not, and submit ourselves to Him and say, God, Father, forgive me. I need You. All of that is available to us immediately, forever. So why doesn't it feel like anything is fixed a lot of the time? I mean, look at what God says about forgiveness. Look at these things He says. Romans 10:9. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God saved Him from the raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Guaranteed. Why do I question what I'm saying? 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. That's a promise. So why do I live like I used to so much? John 10:10. I have come that you may have life and have it to the fullest. Abundant life. Psalm 103, as far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our sins from us. So why do I keep holding on? John 8:36, if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. Why do I still feel trapped? What incredible promises, what freedom and life He promises, and yet over and over again, I still choose sin. Even knowing all of this, I still choose sin. I feel unworthy of His promises, of His gifts, that I'm not good enough, that I'm not okay. And of course I'm not, but Jesus is. And temptation creeps in and I embrace it. Because it makes me feel like I'm in control. Even when I choose sin. At least somehow I'm in control. And I'm filled with guilt and shame. Sin's closest friend. Now guilt is actually good. Guilt is God desperately reaching out to us. In John 16:8, Jesus tells us that this is the job of the Holy Spirit, to convict the world of sin. It's the Holy Spirit crying out in our hearts that this is not okay. You were not made for this. Guilt is good. It's a prompt, it's a challenge. But there's more. The life of God is better. The thing I'm choosing is empty. It will not give me what only God can give me. We need guilt so that we know what God's will is. Guilt is good. But guilt so easily, over time, if we don't address those sins in our lives, if we don't try to turn away from them and recognize them for what they are, guilt becomes shame. And that is a whole different thing. Guilt tells us that something we've done is wrong. Shame tries to tell us that we are wrong. Guilt tells us we're broken, but shame tries to tell us that we're unfixable. That we're beyond repair. That I am unlovable. That I am worthless. Shame is straight from Satan, speaking lies about who you are. And they are powerful lies. We feel them deeply. Because think about where we came from. God created you in His image. The image of this being that spoke existence into existence, unknowably powerful, unbelievably loving. Truth, life, all of this is God. We are made in that image to reflect His glory and grace and love and power and creativity, and we feel worthless? Shame's powerful. And it is evil. Remember these promises. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old is gone. What you were, what you did, is gone. The new has come. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I have come that you may have life again and have it to the fullest. That doesn't sound like someone who is unlovable, who is unfixable. Shame has no place. It has no place. For God so loved the world, not because for God was so obligated, but because He guessed He kind of bothered. For God so loved the world, He sent His one and only Son, and whoever believes in Him shall not perish emotionally, spiritually, physically, mentally, relationally, but you will have eternal, everlasting life with Him forever. Shalom kind of life. Forever. Imagine if a close friend or one of your children did something to hurt you deeply. And for some of you, you won't have to imagine at all. But this is a betrayal unlike anything else. They have devastated the relationship between you. But you forgave them. You reached out and said, that was not okay, but I forgive you, and I want relationship with you. To risk that with them. Imagine you offered them love and forgiveness, and then imagine if every time you saw them, they were miserable. They would never look you in the eyes or smile. If they just hated themselves every time they were with you. Despite the fact that you said you forgave them. That would be awful. That's not forgiveness. There's no relationship there. It's still broken. But that's what we do to God when we continue to embrace sin and shame in our lives in spite of these incredible promises of forgiveness and grace and mercy and life that He offers to us. Jesus opened the prison cell. He paid the debt. He cured what most ails you. You are free. You just have to accept it. You have to actually walk out of that prison cell and into new life. Staying there, sitting in that cell, doesn't prove anything. Sitting in that shame, sitting in that guilt that for those things that have been dealt with, it doesn't prove how bad your sin was. It doesn't please God by showing how much you hate your sin or yourself by continuing to punish yourself. You are free. Act like it. Embrace it. Live like it. Leave sin behind. And embrace the new life that God has offered. We can't continue to do that to our relationship with God by holding on to the things that He has removed from us as far as the east is from the west. We don't honor Him in that. We bring nothing to it. We're forgiven. Act like it. Hebrews 4:16. Approach the throne of grace with confidence. You are forgiven. Not with arrogance or entitlement, because we certainly don't deserve to be there because of anything we have done, anything I have done. But with confidence, because God says you are welcome. Because God says you are forgiven. And we have to choose to embrace that reality. God loves you. He wants to know you. He wants to walk with you, to take you on a journey of healing and forgiveness and purpose and life. Not just getting you to okay, but to that abundant life that He promised. Life beyond what we can imagine. And even more than that, to share that with others. Us broken people. Incredibly, He wants to take what He is pouring into you, what He is offering you, and use it to bless others, to be an ambassador of freedom. Look what God has done for me. He wants to do the same for you. I'm not special. I don't deserve it. It's for everyone, for anyone. Come, taste, and see that the Lord is good. Try it. Experience His love and grace and forgiveness for yourself. See what He has for you. Infinite, eternal glory, joy, love, shalom, forever. Why would we shy away from that and continue to clothe ourselves in guilt and shame? Don't let others put that back on you. Don't let Satan put that back on you. And don't put it back on yourself. As far as the east is from the west, He has removed your sin from you, and you can approach the throne of grace with confidence. You are forgiven. Your debt is paid. It is finished. Jesus said those very words. And meant them. But you have to choose to live in it. By the power and grace of the Holy Spirit, leave sin behind. If you are still embracing a part of your life that you know takes you to places you should not be going, get out. Run away. Don't play with temptation. Don't play with sin. Run away. It's empty. There's nothing there. Everything we think we will get out of sin, any kind of fulfillment or momentary joy or anything that we think we get, we know is ashes. There is nothing there. God has everything for you. Run to Him. If you are living in that shame, even though you've embraced Jesus, if you're constantly falling back into patterns of sin and fear and selfishness and hurt and hopelessness, let Him speak truth about who you are in His Word, by His Spirit, in prayer, in the community of believers. Let Him speak truth. Let Him heal you. Let Him remind you that He created you, that He knit you together in your mother's womb, that He, before you speak a word, He knows it completely, that He knows all your days, that He loves you. Embrace Him. Embrace life. Let the Holy Spirit speak to your heart. Let His Word speak to your heart. We're going to have an amazing time over the next few weeks as we continue to dig into this. Let's pray together. Father God, forgive me when I treat Your mercy, Your grace, so cheaply. When I pretend that somehow it's not big enough to handle the things in my life, when so obviously it is. Forgive my pride, Father, when I hold on to pieces of my life that I know You want to take from me and give me something for me. Father, as we struggle with sin and shame, help us to see Your love, Your life, and lead us to that shalom that You have for us. That peace, that rest, that fullness. Help us, God, to approach Your throne of grace with confidence. Not because we deserve to be there. Not because of anything we have done, but because Jesus says, You are forgiven. God, let us come into Your presence with confidence. Give us that confidence. And God, let it pour over and spill out to everyone that we meet, God, that they would encounter Your love and grace and mercy and incredibleness through us, through who You are in us. God, You're amazing. And I am unworthy. But You have said, I am forgiven. And You have called me Your Son. And thank You for that. In Jesus' name, amen.